Hello and welcome back to the TTPA, Tatani Talks Pirkei Avos. This year where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. We are in Season 5 with the commentary of the Sforno, translation on the notes from Rabbi Palkovitz. We are in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Zayin. We are in Chapter 3, Paragraph 17. I want to give that PSA that we take our usual hiatus, our usual mid-year hiatus for about a month and a half, God willing, and then we'll come back, and God willing, we'll take another smaller hiatus later on in the year and hopefully make it to the end of the school year. So here in 317, here in Gimel Yud Zayin, we have Rabbi Akiva, one of the most fascinating characters in the whole Talmud, in my opinion. Very fascinating character. At 40 years old, he saw the water making an indentation, making an impression, making a mark on the stone. And he said, if water can make such an impression on stone, then Torah can make such an impression on me. Fire. Torah, which is like fire, can have an impression on me. At 40 years old, he started with the Aleph Beis, with the kindergartners. He worked his way up for years and years to become one of the greatest sages in Israel. And they say he lived to 120. He taught Torah for many years. He lost 24,000 students, but then he rebuilt with 5 students. He was away from his wife for 24 years, learning, studying, analyzing, taking how hard he could to work on himself. Rabbi Akiva, fascinating character. So Rabbi Akiva teaches us, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, Schok v'kalos rosh, mockery and levity. Margilin es adam le'erva, custom a person to immorality. Too much laughter, too much lightheadedness is not good in life. You have to have a little bit of a serious head on your shoulders. It's good to laugh. It's good to have a good time, but not all the time, not all the day, not throughout all of your days. There's a time and a place for everything. Koalas teaches us eight ler kod, eight leschog, eight levkot. There's a time for everything, a time to dance, a time to be happy, a time to cry. There's always a time for everything, but if there's too much, it's too much in the way. Masoras Yagla Torah. The Torah is a protective fence. The oral Torah is a protective fence around the Torah. Without the Talmud, without the Torah Shebaal Peh, which was written down by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi, and the Mishnah and the Gemara itself by Ravina and Ravashi, once it was in danger of being lost, that is really a protective fence for us. When we see what they tell us, the sages tell us how to go about going about the Torah, that really can protect us and give a fence around the Torah. We know about Mukso. We want to avoid doing anything on Shabbos. Even touching the electrical item could lead to doing even more transgressions. We need protective fences around these things. Masros Yagla Osher. Tithes are a protective fence for wealth. That the Torah says, Hashem says, the only time you could test me is with tzedakah. Aser to aser, the double language, aser b'shvil shetit asher. The Gemara teaches us, tithe in order that you become wealthy. Hashem says, why don't you test me and see if I don't open the storehouses of Shemayim if you tithe from your money to give to other people, to give to those around you. The only time we're allowed to metaphorically test Hashem. Tithes are a protective fence for wealth. Nedarim siag laprishus. Vows are a protective fence for abstinence. You take upon yourself something. I don't ever tell anyone to do Nedarim or Shavuot. God forbid we say Kol Nidre at Yom Kippur and we do Atar Sandarim by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time. But in general, when you think to yourself, what can you tell yourself in order to fence yourself in so that you don't go to an extreme, those are a good element for many different people. Siag l'chach mashtika. We turn around the wordage over here. We change around the verbiage of the Mishnah. Siag l'chach mashtika. That it's better for a person to be silent. A protective fence for wisdom is silence. Better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and actually be taught that you are a fool. Silence is really golden. We saw it in a different Mishnah also, that all my days, the sage said, I grew up amongst the Chachamim, and they said the best trait, the best quality, the best attribute was actually silence. So oftentimes, if someone's rebuking you, someone's trying to rip on you, someone's trying to get you down, if you respond without responding, you're silent, or you respond in a soft-spoken way, that really tears them down, because a lot of times they're looking for a rise, they're looking for how to get you agitated, how to get you upset. These bullies, these narcissists, these people in life that try to put you down, if you don't respond, if you're silent, or if you respond in a soft-spoken way, that really could cut them down. It's really the best way. Silence really is golden, and that applies with spouse relationships, with kid relationships, with friend relationships, and especially with interactions with co-workers and bosses. The Sforno points out that Rabbi Akiva tells us that it is proper for man to consider and pay close attention to the principles of Zahirus, watchfulness, and Zerizus, And that's coming up in the future. But it also applies here, because when we're alacritous and we understand how to go about ourselves, how to be involved in our life, we realize if we're zealous and we know how to find protect defenses around us, then we could avoid many different problems in life. So the Sforno also tells us that Rabbi Akiva first lists cautionary ways to ensure Zahira's watchfulness and Zariza's zeal. He first states it's proper to guard against mockery and levity so as to protect one from immorality and to ensure the endurance of man's intellectual, philosophical powers and his good deeds, as well as his wealth, which is a necessary vessel for them. He teaches us that we must zealously guard Torah by being careful of transmission, tradition. As our sages say, "Asei simanos l'Torah," make marks, mnemonic devices in the Torah, Shabbos points out in the Gemara. Through tithes, a person preserves his wealth. As our sages say, "Melach mamon chaser," to preserve your wealth, diminish it. That comes from Gemara Kesuvos. And as the prophet explains and exhorts us, in God's name, uvachanuni nabazos, put me to test with that, from Malachi. Vows are a protective fence for abstinence, and a protective fence for wisdom is silence. The Tana also teaches us that vows are a protective fence around a person, ensuring distancing oneself from transgression, as the verse in Psalms states, "I have sworn and I fulfill it to keep your righteous judgments." Rabbi Kiva also teaches us that the way to protect oneself from forgetfulness and error in the pursuit of wisdom is silence, abstaining from unnecessary words and idle talk, for these divert a person's application and attention to wisdom, bringing him to false and erroneous thoughts. And the notes point out, the Sforno explains the common theme of Rabbi Kiva's four cautionary teachings or protective fences. It is not sufficient for a person to merely recognize the significance of Torah, the value of wealth, the necessity to distance oneself from sin, and the importance of wisdom. These valuable treasures must be guarded, be it through oral transmission, tithes, vows, or silence. Otherwise, these material, intellectual, and spiritual assets will be endangered. At the beginning of the commentary on this and the next mission, the Sforno speaks of two character traits, that of Zahirus and Zarizus, watchfulness and zeal. These terms are defined, developed, and explained by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lozato, the Ramchal, in the classic work of 18th century ethical philosophy in Mesillas Yesharim. He explains that Zahirus pertains to exercising great caution in the observance of negative commandments by scrutinizing one's actions to determine whether they are proper and good. The second principle, Zarizus, pertains to enhancing one's observance of positive commandments by exhibiting alacrity in the pursuit and fulfillment of mitzvahs. The Sforno explains that Rabbi Akiva sets the tone for this mission by first cautioning against mockery and levity. This kind of behavior hinders the heroes and Zarizus. The absence of these two positive traits will induce a person to pay scant attention to the finer goals set forth in this Mishnah, namely the pursuit of Torah knowledge, material well-being, voluntary abstinence, and wisdom. Regarding simanos, making marks in the Torah, which the Sforno cites an example of tradition, the sages ascribe great importance to this practice in Shabbos 104, where the Talmud states, "Make marks in the Torah says to acquire it." Similarly, in Erevin, sages teach us that the Torah cannot be acquired without marks. This is based on their reading of the verse, "Sima bpm," place it in their mouths. Amended to read simana instead of sima. Do not read place in their mouths, but mark it for them as a means of introduction, which alludes to traditional teaching. So remember, in your life, avoid that mockery, avoid that lightheartedness, avoid the not caring about anything throughout all of your days. Understand that the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Talmud, really gives us protective fences in our life. Understand that tithing, giving tzedakah, really is beneficial. Thinking how we could go our lives to avoid pitfalls in many areas, and understanding that silence is golden and one of the best things for us in our entire life. Join us next time as we talk about how beloved is man created in God's image here on the TTPA. And I'm your host, Tani.